Indiana newspapers are riddled with stories involving children and teens drowning in bodies of water from backyard pools to Lake Michigan. The American College of Emergency Physicians cites drowning as the leading cause of unintentional death among children between 1 and 4 years of age. Sarah Vaughn explores swimming, drowning, and water safety with local experts.
I don't remember at what age I learned to swim. It feels to me like I've always known how, and I love it. I love the way the water feels gliding over my arms as I propel myself down the length of a pool, the tingling rush of blood to my brain as I pair my strokes and my breath in a quick rhythm. I love the buoyancy of deep water. Swimming keeps me sane. To me, it's an essential skill, just like walking. But many children and adults haven't acquired skills or comfort level in the water. The American College of Emergency Physicians cites drowning as the leading cause of unintentional death among children between 1 and 4 years of age. Here in Indiana, drownings comprised 26% of the 66 preventable child deaths that were reported in 2014, according to the Indiana Department of Child Services. Dr. Bob Ramos of Indiana University's School of Public Health tells me drowning is quick and it's silent, no matter what the age of the victim.
As far as the time frame, we're anywhere from 30 seconds and above. The act of drowning is not what people typically think. So, you know, we're kind of conditioned to see what we see on TV, this very dramatic event with lots of splashing and yelling for help. But actually, one of the things that comes into play during a drowning event is the drowning instinct. And it's actually a very quiet activity. The person becomes very vertical in the water and because of panic can actually not call or yell for help or wave for help. So, you know, if they're not a strong swimmer and they become in a vertical position, the actions they're taking to keep themselves up at all are going to wear them out just in, you know, in a matter of seconds. So then they slip under the water.
But drowning is preventable. I ask Ramos, who's also the director of IU's Aquatics Institute, how early a child can learn to swim. He makes a distinction between acclimating children to water and learning to swim.
Recent information from leading pediatricians are recommending that we acclimate children to the water as soon as possible. So really, as soon as they're ready and can be in the water. But a distinction here is we often talk about teaching kids to swim. And really around the age of 4, youth are at a cognitive level where they can actually learn the skills. Prior to 4, we're really talking, when we say teaching kids to swim before the age of 4, we're really talking about acclimating them to the water, getting them ready to work with an instructor, but during that time, always being with a parent or somebody that's supervised and able to hold them correctly in the water.
The Monroe County YMCA on any given Saturday morning is filled with sounds of children squealing, splashing, diving, and kicking. The only remotely silent activity here might be kids blowing bubbles. Aquatics Director Aaron Polosinski says when it comes to teaching kids to swim, making them feel safe in the water is a priority. And at the Y, preparing young children to swim is fun.
So we do things where we work on, splashing in the water. So we work on getting their faces wet, but pushing down against the water so they see and feel that resistance against the water, pulling at the water, blowing bubbles for sure, kicking their feet in the water, floating on both their stomachs and their backs. And we do all of that based in songs and games. We then, as they progress, will work on, submersion of their head and their face, going underwater, diving for toys on the ground, based on their progression. And we teach the parents how to safely hold and support their children in the water as well. That's a big component of it, so the child feels safe.
Ramos adds his insights for working with very young children.
Always being held is crucial, so having that level of support when they're in the water, really keeping their head above water until probably around the age of 2 or 3. We do see some instances and some programs that encourage early dunking of children, but we see some things with early ear infections and problems with the eyes, and that is a fairly advanced skill. Infants do have some innate responses. For example, if you blow in an infant's face, they'll hold their breath. But it shouldn't be kind of taken as a sign that that's a skill that can be transferred to the water.
I asked both Ramos and Polosinski about a phrase I've heard, drown-proofing children. Is that even possible? Ramos responds with concern.
No, we do think it's a misnomer. There is no such thing, and we do find it dangerous for people to use the term because we think it can make people complacent. Really, there are water safety skills and things we do to be safe around the water, but we don't like to go to the point of calling anyone drown-proofed.
Polosinski agrees. She says it is impossible to ensure a child will never drown because there are too many variables we can't control. She cites fatigue as one example.
Little bodies tire out much more quickly than adult bodies. So we know of stories where parents have been right there next to their children and they turn away for just 5-10 seconds to engage with another adult, turn right back around, and their child is on the bottom of the pool because they've been playing in the pool, gotten so tired, and can't keep themselves afloat. Even children that have participated in parent-child classes where we work on things like floating.
Polosinski says cold water is also a risk factor because it's a shock to the system and presents a risk of hypothermia.
A young child who may know how to float on their back, roll over and float on their back, which is what is the common drown-proofing swim techniques, that child is still then floating in cold water and hypothermia. It's a shock. The child may not know what to do, may immediately tense up.
Unfortunately, children on the autism spectrum are at a greater risk of drowning, Ramos confirms.
There's some information from the National Autism Association from some reports back in 2011. And when we look at instances to wander, which are common with people in the ASD spectrum, they had noted that about 91% of the total U.S. deaths reported in children somewhere within the spectrum under the age of 14 were related to drowning. So that is pretty high.
Ramos goes on to say the larger goal should be water safety, and learning to swim is just one aspect of that.
Water safety is the bigger message, which are the skills that teach us how to be safe in and around the water. And, of course, learning to swim is crucial, but it's a subcomponent. So really, that beginning method is just teaching people about how to be safe around the water, how to enter the water, how to exit the water. For example, knowing if you're talking about open water specifically, you know, we're talking about bodies of water where we have no idea what's beneath the water because obviously we don't have water clarity. So making sure that we know the slope of the entry, how quickly does it become deep, knowing if there's any debris or items in the water we may strike if we jump or enter the water too quickly. And some of this does take pre-planning, and we try to have these conversations without sounding like we're trying to take all the fun out of it, obviously, and everyone knows being around and in the water can be a great deal of fun, but there are some precautionary steps you want to take to make sure that those outings, you know, end up being safe and enjoyable and don't end in some kind of tragic situation.
Indiana newspapers are riddled with tragic stories of people drowning in bodies of water large and small, from backyard pools to Lake Michigan. If someone doesn't know how to swim, simply wearing a life jacket can be, as Ramos says, a game changer.
The life jacket is absolutely crucial. I liken it a lot to bicycle helmets. When I was growing up, bicycle helmets weren't cool. And somehow the industry or the programs promoting them have made bike helmets cool. We see them in all different shapes and sizes and, you know, different iterations. And I feel if we could do the same for life jackets, it would be such a game changer. Because just having that life jacket on provides that extra layer of opportunity that if something were to happen, you would have additional time for somebody to come and rescue you.
Here are four more tips to staying safe around water, courtesy of the American Red Cross. 1. Maintain supervision at all times. Remember, drowning only takes a few seconds. 2. Use the buddy system and never swim alone. 3. Be aware of weather conditions, waves, and rip currents. And 4. Don't overestimate your swimming ability. Everyone has limits. Ramos and Polosinski agree, with awareness and some training, swimming can be a lifelong skill that parents and kids can enjoy together. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.